Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 15th of December, 10 days before Christmas. Can you believe it? This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., which, of course, is headquarters of American Free Press. Do check out American Free Press on the Internet at AmericanFreePress.net. And I do remind you that that website is not all there is to American Free Press. American Free Press is a weekly newspaper, you know, the thing that you can crumple up and throw in the waste can or line your birdcage with, although I don't recommend you do that. When you're done with your issue of American Free Press, pass it on to a friend. I remember years ago when I was working for the Spotlight, I was at an exposition up in Pennsylvania representing the Spotlight, and two or three people came through and stopped and said hello and said they were Spotlight readers. And I said to them, how long have you been subscribing? And the one guy said with kind of an embarrassed look on his face, he said, well, I don't subscribe, he says, but I work at a factory where one copy of the Spotlight goes through the whole assembly line. Somebody else told me one copy of the Spotlight was shared by every family in their church. Well, I think that's the case also with American Free Press today. We know that's the case. American Free Press reaches a lot more people than just its paid subscribers. But, you know, American Free Press does need paid subscribers, believe me. I read these stories about American Free Press being funded by the CIA and the Mossad and the Council on Foreign Relations, and I forget who else funds the American Free Press. No, American Free Press is funded by its plain old subscribers. Every once in a while, somebody does die and leave $5,000 or $10,000 to American Free Press. But for the most part, the contributions are just contributions, regular, small size contributions from regular people, regular folks. And that brings up the Republic Broadcasting Network. Likewise, ladies and gentlemen, RBN relies on the grassroots support of its grassroots listeners. Many of you listen to this program and to many, many other programs on this network on a regular basis. And you do it absolutely free, except for the cost of whatever electricity it takes for you to turn on your computer. So keeping that in mind, I would ask you to make a donation to the Republic Broadcasting Network, folks, because RBN does need your contributions, and why not take a $20 bill out of your wallet, fold it up in a sheet of paper, and just stick it in the mail to Republic Broadcasting down in Round Rock, Texas. The address is on the website, folks. All right, well, I have quite a few little items to go through, nothing of any major consequence. I did want to read to you from a very long and interesting and thoughtful letter from one of our listeners, Patty. I don't think Patty's ever called here to this program, but she is apparently a regular listener. She sure sounds like it from what I've read in her letter here. And when we come back, I want to talk about Patty's letter. I also want to follow through with something that I think I owe the listeners, some further discussion of Robert Groden, gentleman who's well known for having brought out pictures of the JFK assassination autopsy. I made some comments about Mr. Groden that one of our callers correctly pointed out were a bit of name-calling, but at the time, I didn't have time to go into all the details that I had read in the past about Mr. Groden that caused me to question his expertise. Well, I went to my library and pulled a few books down, and I'd like to bring you some further information kind of to underline precisely what I had said. So, you know, we like to correct our errors here and verify what we say. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. I must note for the record, I recently received an email from one listener and a letter from another listener, both of whom acknowledged my associate, the Hound of the Baskervilles, and I mentioned this to the Hound of the Baskervilles, and he said nothing. If he could have rolled his eyes, he would have, and maybe when my back was turned, he did, but I guess he's not as impressed by us two-legged people as us two-legged people are impressed by the four-legged folks, but be that as it may. Anyway, interesting story. The Young Americas Foundation, it's one of these conservative groups. I say that almost with venom dripping because I've spent too much time around conservatives at conservative conferences to have any real regard for them, but every once in a while some of these groups do something of some good, and they issued, Young America's Foundation has issued a report, the Politically Correct Campus Top 10 Abuses of 2008. One of them, which kind of alternately amused me and horrified me, is a Claremont, California elementary school that barred students from dressing up like pilgrims and Indians during a Thanksgiving program to avoid racial stereotypes. Well, being of part American Indian descent, notice I don't say Native American, being of part American Indian descent, I don't take any umbrage at Thanksgiving celebrations. If anything, I would think Thanksgiving celebrations are political correctness at its best, because the Indians come out as heroes in those Thanksgiving celebrations. But, you know, my understanding is the story of Thanksgiving is a myth anyway. But be that as it may, out there in Claremont, California, the kids ain't allowed to be Indians and pilgrims. And frankly, from what I know about the pilgrims and what I've heard about the pilgrims, I don't know if I'd want to be a pilgrim either. Anyway, on to another subject. Very interesting letter to the Washington Post, but this applies to every other publication in America that simply refers to Henry Kissinger as a former Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. Now, the letter writer points out that whenever Kissinger's regular column is published in the Post, they always refer to him as just that, former Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. Well, this lady, Janet Kinzer of Silver Spring, writes, "This partial truth," she says, "it is disingenuous to persist in identifying Kissinger as such. This partial truth obscures the fact that for the past 25 years, Kissinger, through his consulting firm Kissinger Associates, has been a well-paid advisor to deep-pocketed U.S. and multinational corporations. I have no objection to Kissinger's lucrative work or to his continued influence. But when he writes on international affairs, we readers can't be sure whose interests he is representing." The bio used implied an impartiality that perhaps is not accurate. This problem could be easily rectified by changing the wording to reflect his current work. And that's true enough, ladies and gentlemen. Henry Kissinger is always brought on as an expert. Of course, they don't go into some of the controversies surrounding Henry Kissinger for the most part. It's always like there's a big drum roll and they say, "Here's Henry Kissinger." And we're supposed to say, "Ah, Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State." Well, Henry Kissinger's record in that regard and in some of his other intrigues has been the subject of books too numerous to recount, but he does remain a malign influence in our world today. And the malign, and the word malign definitely applies. Well, now the Washington Post, speaking of the Washington Post, is talking about how horrible North Korea is. And I'm not saying North Korea is not the North Koreans aren't. I'm not saying the North Korean government is composed of nice people. They do terrible things to people, I understand, in North Korea. They have concentration camps there. Well, the Washington Post editorial today says, "High school students in America debate why President Franklin D. Roosevelt didn't bomb the rail lines to Hitler's camps. Their children may ask a generation from now why the West stared at far clearer satellite images of Kim Jong-il's camps and did nothing." Well, as I was reading this over dinner, I clipped this out. I want to send it to a liberal friend of mine, and I scribbled on this page. I said, "The Holocaust that never ends, all Holocaust all the time." Now, isn't it interesting that high school students are now debating why FDR didn't bomb the rail lines to Hitler's camps? Why should they be debating that, ladies and gentlemen? Why in the first place should they be debating that? In other words, it's being introduced into high schools today that America didn't do enough to save the poor Jews. Well, you know what I think would be a revealing and instructive debate for students in the high schools? They should debate why almost all of Europe shared Adolf Hitler's concerns about Jewish power and influence in Europe in the 1920s and 1930s. As I pointed out on this program, even some of these traitors to the Hitler government who are now being promoted in this new Tom Cruise film, Valkyrie, even these people, they wanted the war to end, and they thought Hitler's war policies were incorrect. But even these people, including some of these eminent critics of the Nazi government, even these people still, although they were critics of Hitler and some of his policies, his foreign policies, etc., they shared Adolf Hitler's concerns about Jewish power and influence. And as I have pointed out time and time again, even many of the underground resistance movements in the European countries, in France and in Italy, and I mean all throughout Europe, their attitude was essentially this, according to detailed quotations that Jewish professor Saul Friedlander has introduced into the public debate, or into his book anyway, where they are open for discussion and public debate, if those people choose to do it, which they won't. Professor Friedlander has pointed out that many in the resistance movement, their attitude was, as I say, essentially this: well, Hitler's right about the Jews and Jewish power, but we just don't like the Nazis occupying our country. Now, that, folks, I find very, very interesting and very, very provocative, because it's something that's not widely known. Something that is not widely known. Now, here, folks, there's lots of people out there who think, well, you know, George Bush did a lot of bad things when he was president, but he was still a wonderful conservative. Well, the Washington Times today, which has always supported the Bush policies, particularly his war policies, says this: President Bush has nearly doubled the national debt during his 8 years in the White House. As he prepares to return to Texas next month, Mr. Bush is on track to add $5 trillion to the $5.73 trillion national debt he inherited when he took office. According to Treasury Department data, the number was $10.66 trillion at the end of November, and it has been rising at an astronomical rate. The article goes on and on and on. You know, folks, that's the same story that happened with Ronald Reagan. So you know, these Republicans who are now saying that America is getting ready to turn into a big spending socialist police state under Barack Obama, and it may well get worse. We don't know what's going to happen. We may not even be here 6 months from now. We may not be here a week from now. But the fact is, these Republicans, these conservative Republicans, have no record to crow about. I'm telling you. Well, here's something interesting. It turns out, we have this State Department special envoy for monitoring and combating anti-Semitism. Now, it's headed by a guy, Greg Rickman. Well, Rickman and his office have issued a report crying and moaning and screaming about anti-Semitism, but guess where the source of the data is? This is our taxpayer dollars put out this report, and I had a copy of the report earlier. I have it somewhere. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I mentioned in the report, along with Dr. Frederick Tobin and David Duke and a few others who attended the infamous Holocaust conference in Iran year or so ago. Well, it turns out that our U.S. tax dollars in preparing this report relied on data from Tel Aviv University's Stephen Roth Institute for the Study of Contemporary Anti-Semitism and Racism. Real reliable source, ladies and gentlemen. Real reliable source. But there, yeah, my tax dollars go towards that. Well, Senator Arlen Specter is going to be traveling over the holidays. He's going on an international trip that includes England, Israel, Syria, and Austria. And his wife is going along with him, and an aide. They're taking a military jet. This is taxpayer finance, ladies and gentlemen. This is Specter's 26th visit to Israel. His 26th visit to Israel and his 18th to Syria. Now, you know, Senator Specter did have a sister living in Israel. I just kind of am willing to bet Senator Specter is going to visit with his sister when he's over in Israel. Now, I don't know that for a fact, ladies and gentlemen. 26 visits to Israel. He was elected to the Senate in 1980. So that sounds almost like he's had at least one visit a year on average to Israel at U.S. taxpayer expense. And that is what is implied here. Traveling on a military jet must be a good job, folks. Stay tuned.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are clear.
The worldwide economic collapse is here.
The military is being positioned for martial law.
The mark of the beast is at hand.
Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system.
Having a long-term food solution is your only hope.
To stay free.
Now, Survival of Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds.
For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance.
That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds.
For a penny per seed.
15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years.
Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org. I received a very long and interesting and well-written email from one of our listeners. Her name is Patty. And, you know, she starts off by saying, well, let me read it. I'm going to try to edit it as I read along. But she says, first, may I say I respect your research. I have the utmost trust in what you say and write. I've purchased and read your books, The Judas Goat, The New Jerusalem, and Target Trafficking. Ordered Final Judgment. We'll probably start reading it. I'm a subscriber to RBN, American Free Press, and I'll probably subscribe to the Barnes Review. I don't watch cable anymore. I turn on my computer to listen to RBN. And if I don't have RBN on, I'm catching up with what Alex Jones has to say. I send donations to Alan Watt. I read the articles posted on RBN and InfoWars. Mentions, I won't mention where she works, but she meant it's a very well-known organization. And she says, although it has a public record, a public image of being something very, very good, she said, it's not that. She says, the stories I could tell. Now, she mentions that one of our callers attacked Roger Fredenberg the other night, and it was Dave of Massachusetts, in fact. I don't know if it was on this show or if he called into Roger's show. Now, this is what's interesting. She says, I accept the truth of what the Jews are doing, have been doing to promote their agenda. To argue otherwise in light of all that has been revealed would give new meaning to the expression state of denial. But, she says, Let's not forget the contributions of the Jews in the arts, literature, science. I can't imagine a world without their works. She said, my favorite and most trusted personal physicians have been Jews. My three previous directors in my place of employment were great as well, and Jews. All three are wonderful men. However, she says, now let me just say that as good as I have been treated by them, I know they wouldn't think twice about walking right over me if push came to shove. I know I'm not considered their equal. I am, after all, a Gentile. That said, I have been moved to tears upon reading and hearing of the atrocities the Jews have committed, including to their own. However, I also weep when I listen to the beautiful and stirring music of Gershwin, Bernstein, Goldsmith, etc. Therein lies the paradox. She says, I don't believe I've ever heard anyone bring up similar points when listening to your show or one or two others in RBN. That here's a people who can be beasts, yet be so brilliant as well. Why doesn't anyone acknowledge this truth? She says that her opinion in listening to Dave accuse Roger Fredenberg of being a Jew. She says, I hear Dave and others profess to be Christians, voice their love for Jesus and quote from the Bible, but their statements in the derisive tone of voice, and especially when saying the word Jew, is not very Christian-like. As I recall, Jesus himself was not above expressing anger, but for the most part, he taught love, compassion, and acceptance. Anyway, this is an interesting email. As I say, it's a very well-written email. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I would just like to comment that I made a point one evening on this program of mentioning the fact that perhaps my all-time favorite play, which was later made into a film, was the work of George S. Kaufman and Moss Hart, two Jewish gentlemen. And that is The Man Who Came to Dinner. If you've never seen that production, which was originally done on Broadway and then made into a film starring Monty Woolley, I have literally listened to and watched that film hundreds and hundreds of times. When I'm on a long trip, I have tape recordings of the audio of the film and listen to it and enjoy it. There are many, many Jewish writers, screenwriters, whose works I have admired, many Jewish film directors whose works I have admired. And I understand, of course, on the other hand, that they may or may not have a political agenda separate from their work in Hollywood and on the stage. The number of Jewish actors and actresses whose work I have enjoyed over the years. And some of them I know have been hardline advocates for Israel, and I just have to accept that, but I'm not going to reject them just because they happen to be Jews. I've enjoyed their work. I'm thinking of Kirk Douglas and his son Michael Douglas, for example. That's two examples. So I don't think that most people, including Dave, would automatically reject someone and their work in some area just because they happen to be Jews. I mean, you know, you can't go through life. Well, some people could perhaps, but it is very difficult to go through life if you're going to expose yourself, bad choice of words, if you're going to read books and enjoy film and stage productions and other things that are the work of Jewish people. However, when it does come to the political agenda of Jews, and there is a political agenda there, and this is what we've talked about, and this is really actually what Patty, our emailer here, is saying. The fact is, we cannot separate the fact of that agenda being Jewish, and that, as she says, therein lies the paradox, therein lies the problem. So I just wanted to mention that for the record. It's a very difficult proposition, but, you know, in this day and age when the Jewish agenda is so preeminent in our political life, you can't get away from it any more than they could get away from it in Europe in the 1920s and the 1930s. So history, unfortunately, seems to be repeating itself.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We have a couple callers lined up, and I'm going to go to them in a few minutes. And one of them I'm glad to see is Dave from Massachusetts. He may wish to respond to that email which I read on the air here earlier, which mentioned him in passing. In the meantime, though, I do want to comment further about this matter of Robert Groden, who had appeared on Alex Jones' program. And as you probably know, Alex has graciously invited me to appear on his program for an hour. I haven't gotten the formal invitation yet, but I'm sure it will come shortly. But in any case, in talking about that program, I referred to Robert Groden as a so-called expert on the Kennedy assassination. And one of our callers, Glenn from Pennsylvania, took me to task for that, and I have to say, in retrospect, having thought about it, Glenn's point was correct, because that was name-calling. It was name-calling of the very type that I deplore, because I'm not going to call names. And I mean, I call people a lot of names on this program, as you well know, people who I believe deserve it. But, you know, in the context of Robert Groden, you know, we only had a few minutes to talk about it, and I must say that at the time I was referring to him as a so-called expert, I was relying upon my memory of having read things about him that raised questions about Mr. Groden in my mind. And I just had the opportunity this evening to refer to some of these works. Now, it's interesting. You know, I am probably one of the few people who has written anything of substance or anything of, well, let's put it this way. A lot of people don't say my stuff is of substance. Let's put it this way. I'm probably one of the few people who has written a full-length book on the Kennedy assassination that has received widespread distribution and a certain amount of discussion and debate, who is virtually held at bay by everybody else who believes there was a conspiracy in the assassination of President Kennedy. And that, of course, is because I bring up the dread word Mossad. Well, it's interesting, though, that you find that even among these JFK assassination researchers, they have a lot of nasty words for one another. And it's interesting because, in this context, a former close associate of Robert Grodin, Harrison Livingstone, has written at length about Grodin in his book, Killing the Truth. This is Mr. Livingstone's book. Now, I don't want to go into the details here because it's just too long and too complicated, but Mr. Grodin and Mr. Livingstone had apparently been listed as co-authors on a previous book on the Kennedy assassination, but later the two had a falling out. Now, Mr. Livingstone has a tendency to sling accusations and frankly, I find a lot of his stuff just incomprehensible. But, you know, this is, to me, a case of where there's smoke, there's fire. And he has written about his former partner, suggesting that Mr. Grodin, although he has held himself up as an expert and an authority on photographs that were ostensibly taken of the JFK's body during the autopsy, that there are even some questions about the validity of the pictures that Robert Grodin sold to the Globe, a supermarket tabloid, to the tune of $50,000. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. He raises all sorts of questions about Robert Grodin. Now, and he also, this is something he points out, and I have to take Mr. Livingstone's word on this. He says, Grodin's primary conspiracy scenario is one most conspiracy theorists have never accepted, that Joseph Adams Miltier's group of right-wingers shot Kennedy. He implicates the John Birchers. Radical right-wingers, though they may be as an organization, Livingstone writes, they did not undertake to kill the president. Well, I would have to agree with that. And besides, this would, just as Mr. Grodin falsely said that there were no, Israelis had no power to influence the cover-up of the JFK assassination. I'm here to tell you that members of the National States Rights Party and even the John Birch Society did not have the power to cover up, to influence the CIA and the FBI. So there are these serious questions about Robert Grodin. Now, another writer who I have criticized for his criticisms of me is former prosecutor Vincent Bugliosi in his massive book Reclaiming History. Now, I found his book of some value, even though it totally refutes or attempts to refute JFK assassination conspiracy theories. I found a certain value in Bugliosi's book in that he did show how many people who have put forth various conspiracies relating to the JFK assassination, he's shown that a lot of these things are, let's face it, full of holes, and therefore, in fact, contribute nothing to the discussion except confusion. Now, it's interesting that he points out in regard to Mr. Grodin, that Grodin, of course, really is not, quote, an expert in the classic sense. Mr. Grodin, although he has been closely associated with discussion of the JFK pictures that he's put out, Mr. Grodin is just not a photographic expert. And even when he was called later to testify on behalf of O.J. Simpson as a photographic expert, he really was not recognized as such. And when he was a consultant to the House Assassinations Committee, he was one he was a consultant to the committee, but he was an unpaid consultant and only provided background information on the issues that have been raised by Warren Commission critics. So the point is this, ladies and gentlemen, that to hold Mr. Grodin up as an expert is not technically correct, any more than it would be to hold me up as an expert on the JFK assassination, because I don't consider myself an expert. I'm simply someone. I'm a writer, a researcher. I put together a thesis, but I'm no expert. I'm not an expert on anything, ladies and gentlemen. So when you hear that someone's an expert on this topic or that topic, consider it for what it's worth. So as I say, when I was referring to Mr. Grodin as a so-called expert, I didn't have all these details in front of me. I have these two massive books written by two authors with whom I have many disagreements with, and then again on other points with whom I may agree for one reason or another. But the point is, these people both have raised serious concerns about Robert Grodin, and it was on that basis that I made the passing reference to Mr. Grodin as a quote-unquote so-called expert. So my point is this, I wasn't just shooting from the hip. I wasn't just name-calling for the purpose of name-calling. I was using a couple key words which may have taken an offensive air to them, but they were words that were based upon my study of many years and my recognition that perhaps Mr. Grodin isn't all he's cracked up to be. So when he arbitrarily dismisses my theory as, I think what he called it, a situation of anti-Semitism, strange way of putting it, I think that's how he worded it, I was only calling into question just how credible he is in the first place, especially when he considers that a small right-wing group, the National States Rights Party, was a prime mover behind the Kennedy assassination. I'm here to tell you, folks, if the National States Rights Party had been behind the Kennedy assassination, J. Edgar Hoover wouldn't have covered it up. J. Edgar Hoover was in the pocket of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. The CIA wouldn't have covered it up. Lyndon Johnson wouldn't have covered it up. Nope, 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 nope. Okay, let's go to the phones. Dave in Massachusetts.
Hello, Michael.
Dave, how are you?
Hey, listen. I used to be a spirit. Now I'm an expert.
Okay.
Hey, listen, you could have been more mean-spirited, though, Michael. You've been going easy on Robert Grodin. You know, you could be calling him something like Grody Grodin or something like that, you know? What's that, Grody Grodin? Huh? Would that, you know what the word Grody means?
No, I don't.
Oh, look it up. You have a wordsmith, Michael. Look it up.
That's I won't do that. I'll find my dictionary and look it up.
That's a nice word to have in your arsenal.
Okay.
Hey, listen, there's so much to talk about, but I think I'm going to talk about something else now because of what Patty wrote. First off, let me say this. I wasn't accusing Roger Fredenberg of being a Jew. I was asking him about his own words. Now, you know, I guess he's gone from RBN because I just looked up in the archives to see what date the show was on, and even the archives are gone for Roger Fredenberg. But anyway,
yeah, I do believe he may have left the network. I had heard there was a possibility of that, and I guess he must have, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, it was on a Tuesday back in November. I believe it was on a Tuesday, maybe back around the middle of November sometime, the beginning of November. But he had a guest on, and I forget the guest's first name, but his last name, I believe, was Von Campy. Von Campy, or Von Camper. Von Camper. KAMPER or something, von Kamper. But he was from Germany, and he grew up supposedly in the Holocaust and everything, but he had nothing but praise for the Jews, and he was pushing the Holocaust, and he was talking about that we have to bless Israel and that they're God's chosen people. Well, anyways, I think Roger got so caught up in this. I think Mr. von Kamper was speaking so highly of the Jews and everything that Roger came out, Michael, and it was right on the archives, but he actually said, and this is his like exact words, he says, as near as I can tell, I'm 88% Jew and 12% Scottish, he said to Mr. Von Kamper.
Okay.
And, so when I called in, I was kind of kidding Roger. I says, Roger, I think you made a Fredenberg slip. I says, I don't think you meant to say you were 88% Jew. I said, I think what you meant to say was you were 88% German Jew. You know? So anyways, that was what that was all about.
Okay, because I didn't hear it. That's why I was puzzled at first when I read Pat's email. I didn't know if... she was referring to something you had said on this program or on Roger's program.
Yeah. So to this day now, I don't know what Roger's ethnicity is. He said it very seriously. He wasn't fooling around, he wasn't trying to bait the audience. This was during the course of the interview with Mr. Van Kamper. But I think Mr. Van Kamper was praising the Jews so much that
well, you know, just for the record, Dave, I have to mention that over the weekend I had occasion to listen to Mark Glenn and Phil Turney's Liberty Hour here on the archives, this weekend's broadcast. And one of their guests was a gentleman, I believe his name was Slevin. He is the co-author of a very interesting book, the title of which escapes me. But Mr. Slevin, I do believe he said, is half Jewish. And I want to tell you that Mr. Slevin and his co-author have come down hard on the State of Israel. They have come down hard on the Jewish lobby in America. They believe that the American alliance with Israel is a danger to the United States and really, I guess, to Israel. And that just goes to show you that there are people who can be of Jewish descent who don't necessarily share the Jewish political agenda.
Yeah, I heard him, Michael. The name of his book is The Clash of the Gods.
That's correct. Thank you. Yes. And I'm going to get the book. I understand it's available at Barnes & Noble. So sounds like it's a novel, but it's a novel based on fact. And we have to give credit where credit is due. And I think you are willing to do that as well. So,
Michael, I have an interesting book I want to bring to your attention. But let me address something I've been wanting to address for a long time that Patty brought up. Now, most of the shows, even on RBN, but Alex Jones... You know, like there's Alex Jones and there's Alan Watt and Chris Hinckley show and William Roberts and I could go on and on. There's your show was kind of unique, but most of these talk show hosts they don't want to discuss the Jews and the Jewish question, and I'm pretty sure, Michael, the reasoning is this: that they know that there's a lot of good Jewish people out there, and they don't want to offend or alienate the good Jewish people, so therefore they avoid the subject completely. But now my approach is what I call, and I think this is your approach too, Michael, my approach is what I call the Jesus method. The Jesus method. Now if you study Jesus, what Jesus did, he openly confronted the Jews. He confronted the Jewish leadership. He never minced words when he was talking to the Jews or talking about the Jews. He never minced any words. And I'll tell you what Jesus knew. He knew that the good Jewish people, were going to be on his side. And he knew that the evil Jewish people were going to curse the ground that he walked on. So I disagree with Alex Jones and these RBN, like Alan Watt. I disagree with their method. I use the Jesus method. And Michael, I'm going to tell you, I'm certain, I'm just as certain as can be that the good Jewish people, Michael, are going to be on our side, on our side.
Well, we have Jewish listeners. I've read some of the emails from them that I've received over the past several years. And we had brother Nathaniel Kapner on the program, who was born and raised a Jew in an Orthodox family, and now, of course, he's become an Orthodox Christian, and he's a very outspoken, no-holds-barred critic of the Jewish agenda. And there are a lot of people out there who share his concerns, including a lot of people who are Jews.
Yeah, you know what? I just sent Brother Kapner a Christmas card, you know, and all I could afford, I'm sending money to everybody, Michael, all I could afford was $20 for Brother Nathaniel. But
I think that says it all right there. The fact you made a contribution to Brother Nathaniel, and Brother Nathaniel was born and raised a Jew. So there you go. Dave, listen, I have to move on here. I got a couple callers lined up, but you know I always appreciate your calls. Yeah. All right, folks, we are going to the break. When we come back, we've got David in South Carolina. Another David, but this one's in South Carolina.
Here's a startling fact. The New World Order wants you dead. Chemicals and toxins are in the air. Biowarfare, drugs and unknown substances. Foods with no vitamins. Fast food for obesity. Fluoride in our water. How do we fight back? What do we do? Make a life change decision. Get ahead of the curve. GetTheT.com. That's GetTheT.com. Cleanse your body and internal organs. Lose weight and receive more energy. Get aboard the Life Change boat and say no to the dark side. All natural, and for about $1 a day, you can win the race. GetTheT.com or call our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Don't be deceived by the bullies of the trade.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
All right, folks, you know, one day I'm going to write a book saying the Martians killed John F. Kennedy, and I'll be interviewed on every radio show in America. All right, we have Dave from South Carolina. We're going to let Dave wrap up the hour here with us.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dave, what's going on?
It's great to speak with you again. Appreciate everything Dave had to say. As far as that goes, my favorite teacher I ever had was a Jewish guy by the name of Sellers, a fourth grade teacher. He did field trips. He taught us a lot. He was one of those hands-on teachers, you know. A wonderful, wonderful man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As I've told you before, though, I have to look at things collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And what a people themselves, how they manifest themselves in the greater culture in the world, and the civilizations they found, and you know, how they handle them and everything.
You know, it's funny, Dave. You know, it's funny. I had a teacher one time who I always thought might have been Jewish, and to this day I'm not still sure. She died some years ago. I'm not sure whether she was or not, but she was always one of my favorite teachers, and we got along quite well.
Well, on an individual level, I mean, everybody's can be a wonderful person. That's just the way it is. And then, you know, like I said, collectively, let's see. I think, you know, this. Okay, for instance, we see this expertise on television every day, on CNN or something like that, you know. We see every day how they have two different people competing on who is going to tell you exactly what, how you should brush your teeth,
uh-huh.
how you should wipe your butt, how you should raise your children, you know, and then, of course, get into business and all this other kind of thing, you know. And there's always there's so many experts who just happen to have a, you know, Jewish name.
And that's true. That's undeniable. That's just a fact.
Yeah, you know, and people who do not recognize that, it's not, you know, focused on the fact that certain names and, well, anyway, that's kind of technical. But there's just a fundamental clash of cultures and civilizations between the white Aryans, okay, and Jewish people. Aryans seek to, you know, expand our world, and we seek perfection on earth and glory in battle and things like that, and mechanics. You know, we want to work with things and make civilization what it is. And the Jews have this, their kingdom is in heaven. You know, and they seek destruction of the things that are what they perceive to be superior to them, and that it suppresses them and has oppressed them to whatever extent and held them down, I think they think. But they seek their glory in heaven, not on earth, except in the accumulation of wealth so they can attain power over us.
Yeah, and that's actually, you know, I would, although, Dave, I'll tell you what, from my reading, I would tend to disagree with you on a point there, because it seems to me in my reading that the Jews generally look upon their heaven as earth, because they don't believe so much in an afterlife, and they feel that the ultimate heaven is just as you said. I'm taking a slightly different tack than Eunice, but their ultimate heaven is accumulating wealth and power here on earth, because that, in their view, is a sign of approval from God, whereas Christians and others all look toward an afterlife. So there's a difference. There's a nuance there, but I think we're on the same track there.
Hey, man,
and
it's semantics.
Yeah, and I think even Pat, the lady who wrote us the email, she would probably share that view as well. So,
and by the
anyway,
way,
yeah, Dave, we're running out of time here, so I think you have another thought there, but you're going to have to hold it because the time is up. All right, folks, interesting program. Thanks for some interesting calls and emails, which are always appreciated. Try to answer them all as I can. Try to read them all as I can. All right, folks, have a good evening. Stay tuned here to RBN.